And I gave some lectures down south of here in Conway. And one of the song leader from Antioch Missionary Baptist Church was down there. And he listened to that, and he was fascinated. And he said, "Would you come and present that down at Antioch?" I said, "Lord, they'd run me out of state." And he said, "Tom, I think you ought to." I said, "Well, if you can talk J.C. James into it, I'll come down and do it." I went down there, and I was pleasantly surprised. J.C. James loved it because it fitted in with what he already believed. He didn't know anything about what I was teaching, but he believed that the Lord was coming, and things I believed, but he didn't believe in seven-trumpet rapture. That's when I first started doing my stuff back and forth across the screen. You remember, I'd do it here. I'd say the rapture's going to occur, and I'd go up and down there, because I didn't lie. You say, "Well, you deceived him." No, I prayed to the Lord about this for a long time. Before I finally just said, in 1992, I said, "That's it," because he bothered me. And I said, "I'm going to start doing a seven-trumpet rapture." Man, my invitations dropped off, but I was glad. You know, people are concerned about driving. I tried to do one trip in southern Mississippi. I went off the road way down in a ravine and had to climb up the top of that thing, snow up to here, and wave down a motorist and get him to call a place to pull me up out of there. I don't know if I ever told you all about that. And then I'm pretty sure I did. I'm a great whiner and I like to make myself a hero. So in any case, I got it out and started back, and I said, "I'm going to try another way," and I started out the other way. I went down in another ravine about 3 miles later. So this time I crawled up the ravine, got another guy to call for me. They come and got me out. And I said, "Well, somehow I got down here," because it was black ice. I mean, just all over. So I drove back home, sliding all over the road, and got up here, and I called down there, and I said, "I'm sorry, but I can't make it." They were very disappointed. By that time, I was the hero of the American Baptist Association, and I loved every minute of it. But after doing this for all those years, man, I said, "Lord, I'll do it as long as you want." But I thought, if I ever have one of those ice episodes, I don't know if I'll do it or not. It's the only one time I ever failed to show up. So this has been an interesting thing for me. But this was the first time I did it at Antioch Missionary Baptist Church. That building was packed. They were sitting on each other's shoulders. And you know how big a building that thing is. And I did the lecture series. And Brother McMurray will discuss the prophesied upheavals in the earth prior to the second advent, noting recent earthquakes, volcanic eruption on the island of St. Vincent. The meteorological geologist teaches earth science. I was certified to teach it in secondary schools. The meteorologist teaches earth science, physics, and chemistry at Dardanelle High School, and the pastor of Dardanelle Missionary Baptist Church. And then I put this last thing in, Dr. J.C. James is pastor of the Antioch Church. Well, I didn't have anything except old pieces of cardboard. Let me see that other thing you got. And this is something that I made maybe a year later, because I started getting so many invitations. I had to come up with something that looked professional, but this is what I first started with. Let's see. And Lord, that's an old thing. Let me get that thing in there right. Yeah, that's it. And this is when I got really professional. But it was nothing but pieces of cardboard before that. And so I got up there, and I had this drawn on a piece of cardboard. And those two arrows, you can see the arrow at the topmost. That was over around, I'm getting old, around Libya. And I had, I'm sorry, it was out in the Mediterranean. And I had it pushing up against Italy. And I said that the huge fault existed, and I talked about the ancient volcanoes that were over there, and one that they didn't even know how old it was, but it was older than anything else they'd ever seen, that was on the Italian peninsula. And I told how the last earthquake in the book of Revelation, the greatest of all, would start there, rip all the way down through between the two black eras, and the second black era up toward the top, but not on the top like the other one. It's not the furthest that up. I told him that was the Sinai Peninsula and the Sinai, where all that stuff is. Then I showed him the actual crack off of it that ran down through Africa, which I've surveyed, and I've surveyed the others too, except the one in Italy. I haven't gone completely over it, but I've flown over it enough to know. And I read enough about it, and I got all kind of material and studied up on it. And then that crack would go all the way down and go down through the Jordan River Valley. Then these two others would branch out the bottom. And then I told him, I have another big piece of cardboard with all the plates. You can imagine what they looked like. Nancy Young, I should have got her to do it, but she was slow as a seven-year itch. And so I just did them myself, and when I got through, I thought, well, that's better than nothing. So I went down there with it. I put them up. They went wild because they knew I was a missionary Baptist. They knew I believed that I'd use my thing going up and down. They knew, they thought, one of them would say, oh, he's the first weaker. Another one would say, he's mid-trib. The other would say, he's seven-trumpet rapture. And they all had a different opinion of what I believed because I went everywhere on that chart up and down two or three times. So finally, and I prayed about it because I didn't want God to hold me at the judgment seat and say, you should have told him. So I did. He didn't bother me. But when I got out in Texas, I didn't have any choice because so many of them were asking me, and I had a boy, the teachers on TBI jumped on me at a fellowship they had for me. And after it was over with, I just told them what I believed, and that's what they believed. They believed in seven trumpet rapture. Some of them are last of the weakers. So I went ahead, used that, and showed them all that stuff. I thought I was going to be running out of town on a rail, but it didn't work that way. And it was really great.
Daddy, that's not the one.
No, that's not the one? Okay. Put it over in the middle of it there. Can y'all see that? If there's anybody sitting in the back, I would. Is Cooney back there?
Yeah, he's back there on Bible class.
Okay. Can you see it?
She can see it.
I'm gonna pull this up here like this. Can you handle that, Terry?
Yeah.
Make it larger. Did the seed remain? These were some of the earliest ones I did. And I was trying to conceal two things. Number one, that I was seventh trumpet. And number two, that I didn't want to expose what I believed about the rapture. So I got kind of professional here. This was back in the last century. Whoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. And this was what I used on my brother, and he didn't like that, but he sure couldn't explain it. And I couldn't even talk to him about the other, because if he didn't believe there was a devil, how on earth could I ever get him to believe this? I love my brother. People that knew us, that knew me and my family, they said, you and your crazy brother. I pray for him all the time. Did the seed remain? That's something that I gradually learned. Right after I got saved, I knew I was saved. And I talked to the preacher down front. He kept trying to lead me to the Lord. And I said, I was saved back there. I was saved back there. And he said, hold on. And he kept talking, till finally I just gave up. I said, "Well, Lord have mercy, we ain't ever going to get through up here." And I said, he kept saying, finally he said, he kept saying, "Do you feel saved? Do you feel saved?" And I kept telling him, "I am saved." And finally, I just said, "Yeah, I feel saved." And then he said, "Praise the Lord." And then when God called me to preach, I found out about preachers. And I used to listen to some of their stories when I was a boy growing up. And we used to call some of these preachers that followed another one up there that was famous. We had names for them, like, "Can you top this?" And they would tell puppy dog tales and stories that were lies. I didn't know it, but later on I found out. And so I knew that the unpardonable sin is not accepting Christ. And that's the unpardonable sin. And Ananias and Sapphira, they lied to the church, and they lied to the Holy Spirit. And that is one thing you don't ever see me praying about, because it's, but I'm saved, and so I understand that. But I sure don't call him daddy. I just, that makes me feel so bad inside. And anyway, that's another day, another story. "Whoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God." Well, after I got saved, that caused me some problems. He said, because I knew I was still a sinner, I knew that I still had this same problem. I didn't believe I was going to hell, but I had the problem. But I always go back to this, and I didn't completely understand it. That was when I was, before I got saved. "In this the children of God are manifest." Well, it was afterwards too. "In this the children of God are manifest." Okay. How do I know I'm saved? Because the first thing I learned was that I repented toward God. Lord, I'd been repenting toward him all those years, and I didn't know who I was repenting to. And so, but it was God. I didn't know anything much about God. I knew he was going to send me to hell if I didn't quit sinning. And I knew I was lying, I was lusting, I was doing all that stuff. And so finally I just gave up. I gave up. I had prayed, I had tried so hard not to lie to grandmother, or lie about this, lie about that. And finally one night I just gave up. And I said, "Lord, I'm in bad shape." And he already knew that. And I said, "Save me, please." And I don't think I even said please, but I said, "Save me, Lord." And he did. And I knew it. I knew it. That's when I went down the aisle. And that's when the woman, that's when the preacher tried to lead me to the Lord. But I knew. I didn't know how I knew, but I knew. Man, I'd been feeling guilty for so long. Now, here's what I didn't know. "In this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother." So how was it that when I got saved, I knew I was saved? And why was it after that, all of a sudden, I guess it was the day after, might have been the day after the day after. No, it was the day after. I'm not going to tell you what I did, but in any case, I sinned. It wasn't bad. I didn't chase anybody down the street and rape them or anything like that, but I sure did think about it. In any case, I said, "What did I do it right? Did I say it right?" You've heard me say that so many times. "In this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil." Wait a minute. If I'm a child of God, I know I'm not a child of the devil. And I know that I'm doing everything I can to do what God said. And so I am of God. "Neither he that loveth not his brother." Lord have mercy. There's lots of people I didn't love. And even today, as I'm sitting here talking to you, sometimes I'll think some terrible things about people. I feel bad because I said what I did about Leonard. And I've asked God to forgive me for that. I apologized to him seven or eight times when he'd come to me and talk to me about it. And I didn't know he was going over and telling my wife and doing stuff like that. I didn't know it. I would have talked to him about that, but I didn't know. I didn't even know what I was doing wrong. And I would go and I'd apologize to him, and then it'd be all right for a while, but pretty soon he just couldn't take it anymore. For this is the message that ye heard, ye is plural, that ye have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. I've had lots of people come to me and they said, Brother McElmurray, I must not be saved because I don't love this person. I don't love that person. And I have to sit down and try to explain all this to them in one session. And it's not easy, for it took me a long time to learn this. For this is the message that ye, plural, speaking to the New Testament church, but this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. In John 3, 6, and 7, he says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must, M-U-S-T, ye must be born again. Okay, then I started looking at that, and I said, oh, wait a minute. There's another scripture I remembered, and because I was always trying to figure this out, and I knew I was saved, and I believed I was going to be live eternally. But the problem was, I understand it now, I wasn't trying to please God because He first loved me. I just didn't want to go to hell, and I knew I wasn't going, but I felt miserable. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. I remember the scripture where the scripture says, the first Adam was made a living soul. And the Lord breathed into the Adamos' nostrils the breath of life, and the Adamos became a living soul. Well, you know, Chuck Turk talked to me about that. He kept talking to me about it, talked about being qualified and being worthy, and you got to understand this thing before you can understand why he believes the split rapture. His dad believed in it, and I thought a lot of his dad. It's a great honor to do his funeral. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love to the brother, see that ye have that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. I knew my soul had been saved. I doubted my salvation lots of times, but I just knew that it had. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Being born again. Ye must be born again. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. By the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. If I cannot sin, as I did in the first scripture, it says, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Jesus is the word of God. The word of God came directly from Jehovah. Jehovah took on the form of a man, and he's a quickening spirit. Well, I was born of the Spirit, and he quickened me, and I suddenly realized he loves me. He loves me. He knew I was that way when he saved me. I was born as a descendant of Adam. When I got saved, his seed didn't run away from in me. It was still in there. And I had to be born again. I had to be quickened by the second Adam. And I didn't understand all that. You say, well, where'd you learn it? You're looking at it right there on the screen. Every time I've preached up here, I've always put something in there where I may not have come out and said it directly because I was afraid people might get the idea I was a Calvinist or something like that. And so I always tried to work my way around it. And I'm being honest with you now. And the Lord, he just, I had an unction to do what God gave me to do. And he didn't bother me for it. And I knew one day I'll have to stop this. I didn't know when. Because I felt like in my own flesh, this is not reverent. But God didn't, but it was. Because I sure didn't call him daddy. But let's look at 1 John 3, 4, and then 18 through 21. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. There's two different words used for word and for know, epigenosko and genosko. And by the time I figured this part of it out, I knew that not only did Jesus, not only was he the pre-existent Christ, not only was he the everlasting God, not only was he all the things that he stated in the ninth chapter of Isaiah, where he said that he was, I may not have that, I think it's in Isaiah 9. He said he was the counselor, said he was the comforter, said he was Almighty God. Go in there and look at all that. That's what it said of him. And there is a church of the firstborn. About several weeks ago, I called David Robinson because I've always had a lot of respect for him. And I said, David, do you believe in a pre-existent Christ? He said, I do. I said, well, do you believe that God is Jehovah or Yahweh? Yeah, he did. And I talked to him about this, and he believed what I believed. He helped me with some stuff. I know that. Now, I knew that I had passed from death unto life because I did love the brethren. I loved you all. I really did. But not as much as I do now. Not as much as I do now. You say, well, why? God taught me. What did he teach you? That I didn't love the brethren enough? You say, well, I guess that's over with now and you've mastered it. No, I don't love the brethren enough. But what I do, I keep on trying to grow and I keep on trying to love them like he loves them. He said, you love me because I first loved you. So I have now come to understand that the reason I love you now more than I did in the past is because he's teaching me. You say, you mean you think he teaches you still today? Absolutely. He says, my little children, let us not love in word. Have I ever told people I loved them when I really didn't love them all that much? Could I love somebody and have us know what they were doing? And I knew one couple and what they were doing. And I knew they were troublemakers when they joined the church. I knew it. I understood it perfectly. But I couldn't be sure. And they were one of the ones that were instrumental in getting them to come out to their house, hold hands, and pray for me. But I knew when they joined, and I knew they'd caused trouble in other churches. I knew they talked to me about their pastor, former pastor, all the time, and he apparently was a pretty good old boy. And it was a Missionary Baptist church. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. You say, well, how are you doing on that? A lot better than I was. When I tell you that I love you, I mean it. And when I tell you there are some people I love more than others, you say, well, you ought to stop doing that. I'm trying. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. I'm in fellowship with God right now. I mean, I'm sitting here and I'm looking at you and telling you, I'm in fellowship with God right now. You say, how do you know? Can't be based on feelings. After you get to know God and he teaches you stuff, he teaches you that you ought to be more like him. He also teaches you you got a carnal nature. And he also teaches you, if you read enough scripture, that you put it all together and you say, he did it for me. You say, what? By his grace. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You come to understand. And if you came to this church and you sat here and you took in all this, you didn't run away from it. You're still here. And if a God calls a man to preach, he's supposed to study to show himself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If you want to accuse me of not doing, not guilty. I kept on studying even though I did not completely understand it, because I knew I was saved. You say, how'd you learn that? From the book. You say, did you believe you could lose your salvation two or three days after you got saved? Yeah. You say, well, how'd you learn otherwise? I can tell when I'm in fellowship or not. He bothers me. He bugs me. I thank him all the time for doing it. And if that doesn't work, I just keep trying to figure out what it is. And finally, it's something else I needed to learn. If you want to learn what God has for you and love other people more, you have to learn about yourself. And you have to understand that in you there is a terrible creature that only God can control. Do you know who the overcomer is? It's Jesus. Do you know who never committed sin? Jesus. God finally put this together in me. I can't take any credit. All I did, he kept leading. I think the three most important words that I ever learned and ever went back and relied on were when the two disciples who'd already been scripturally baptized by John, and John looked across the river after Jesus was baptized and said, behold, the Lamb of God. I don't think they understood completely what that meant. They didn't until they got into their earthly ministry, but then they understood. Well, what's so significant about that? Those two took off and followed him. They took off and they followed him. When they got behind him, Jesus knew they were there. He knew they were coming. And when he got them over there on the other side of the river after the baptism, he said, what seekest thou? Don't you think he already knew? You know what he said? Come and see. And they stayed with him. They were looking for the Messiah. And they were sitting there talking to him. And after they talked to him, did he perform any miracles? Then why did they immediately run and take him to the next one God called out? Because he was looking for the Messiah too. He was a completely different type of personality. It's not your policy, it's not your personality. I got a rotten personality. But it's Christ in me that suppresses that rotten personality I've got. And that's who's controlling me now. So if I get out of fellowship with God, I'm miserable. And I try to find out what it is. And he still says the same thing to you. Come and see. That's what it's all about. I didn't know that. All I knew was I didn't want to go to hell. Don't you think he knows what you're capable of and what you're not capable of? Don't you think he knows why you're coming to him? The Father drew you to him. That's why he took on the role of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He is the only begotten Son of God. Because God is the one who indwelled him and fulfilled the prophecies. God cannot die. God is eternal. But the man could. And the man was God. And the man is God. And so, it's gotten me through more than you'll ever realize here at this church. He says, "Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we fellowship toward God." And you will not come to me that you might have life. This is the record. It's God's record. Jesus said it. Who possesses eternal life? Who is God? And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He died for us on the cross. And I inherited eternal life the moment that I came to him and just realized how helpless I was. But do you know what he's taught me over the years? How helpless I am. And he's taught me how wonderful he is. And you know what? You know what taught me? Grace. I know you're saved by faith. I know that. But it was God's grace that gave you the plan. That's God's plan for man. And it's God's grace that once you put your faith in him and trust him, you're saved forever. But it's also the same God that was transplanted in you when you were born again that keeps on teaching you, keeps on teaching you, keeps on teaching you. And he's the one who knows the truth. He's the one who knows the truth. It's not me. It's him. And when you start realizing he did it all expecting nothing in return, you say, "Well, people, why did he send people to hell?" God doesn't send people to hell. It is not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So where are we now? We're waiting for him to come. And for the first time in our lives, we will see him face to face. We've never done that. Moses didn't see him face to face. He let him see him from behind. And I can always tell where our little dog is mad at me. When I trick her and she figures it out, we can't get out of the house over there hardly, because April can't chase the dog, and I sure can't chase the dog. April, not April, but Terry. And so I use that on her for a while, but she's figured it out. Now she just stays in my arms and shakes, because I've betrayed her. Now at night, when April gets ready to go to bed, she comes back there and she knows what's going to happen. There's no way out. She looks right at me. I shake both her paws and I say, "I'll see you in the morning." She doesn't get mad, irritated, or anything else. But you know how I felt when I left over there? She's always up on there scratching, waiting for me to get home. Her poor little face was sitting down there. And she was so pitiful. She wasn't excited or anything. And I thought, "Oh, good Lord." And you know, that hurts down deep inside. Well, they didn't let dogs on the Temple Mount. But, you know, God's love is based on grace. He loves me even when I betray him. And then he lets me know what I've done. And it's never anything I thought. That must be some kind of advancement. And it is now a quarter after seven. It's time to go eat.
Let's go.